Thanks, Chris. Let's pray before we look at God's Word. Father, we thank you that you have given us your scriptures that we can learn to think your thoughts and see your wisdom and to know how to live as your people. So we pray now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to take these words and to write it on our hearts and that you would speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you think of when you think of a Christian or a leader? When the word leadership comes to your mind, who do you think of when you think leader? I thought of Mahatma Gandhi, and he championed passive, sort of non-violent civil disobedience, and he led India to independence from British rule. Or perhaps you might think Richard Branson, Virgin Group of Companies, bold, visionary. Or maybe Abraham Lincoln. He was the 16th president of the United States, and he led the movement for abolishing slavery through civil war. So we are looking at leadership this morning, and what words come to your mind when you think of a leader? A visionary, a self-starter, someone who's dynamic, someone who's charismatic, fearless, willing to take risks. So these might be common words that come to our mind. How about us when we think of God's ideal of a leader, God's blueprint for leadership? What does God have in mind? So today's passage will look at God's ideal for a Christian leader. It doesn't tell us everything, but it tells us some important things. So the first thing we learn about Christian leadership, the word that should come to mind is the word servant. A leader is one who serves Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us. So Paul is speaking of himself and the apostles, how we ought to regard us as servants of Christ. So let me ask you, was that the word that came into your mind when I asked the word to describe a leader, a servant? So why is it that servant or serving is synonymous with Christian leadership? It's because of Jesus, isn't it? Because that's what Jesus was like. Jesus was the Son of Man who didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. He took the cloth and he washed his disciples' feet. So as Christian leaders, we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. It's a position of authority, a position of leadership, but the position is used to serve others, to seek their best interests. So a Christian leader is a servant of Christ. And I guess what that means is we are not self-serving. So if you are leading in any capacity, I guess today is a good day to reflect. Why did I sign up? Why did I agree to lead? Maybe you're an LYC leader or in YA or in the band or in school or in various capacities, not just in Christian context, but even in school, in a club or society, if you're in a position of leadership, why are you in that position? And the Bible teaches us that we are there not to serve ourselves, but to serve Christ. Are you serving Christ? Is that why you're in that position? See, it's so easy to lead for the wrong reasons. We might lead because we want people to look at us and, for respect or recognition or admiration or, Or sometimes we might even lead because all our friends are leading. I want to be with them, and so I'm going to sign up as well. These are all self-serving motives. We should lead because we want to serve Christ and not serve ourselves. But because of sin, all of us lead for mixed motives and different things that come to us and pressure us. So maybe in the morning when you wake up, when you pack your bags, you're heading out of the door to say, Lord, my heart is prone to be self-serving. Please help me to serve you today. Because we are servants of Christ. Secondly, a leader is a steward of the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. The mysteries God has revealed is about God's plan of salvation. In the past, it was hidden, but now it has been revealed, it has been disclosed. That salvation, that rescue plan, is through faith in Jesus. So the mysteries of God is a way of talking about the gospel, about a crucified Messiah. And we are a steward because it is given to us on trust. We hold this gospel, we share it, we defend it, we guard it. It's given to us on trust. The church at Corinth was divided over their favorite leaders. Some of them liked Apollos, some of them liked Paul, some of them liked Peter. So there was a bit of division. Even though Paul had founded the church, a number of them did not think he was really a very good apostle. They didn't think of him very highly. They were prejudiced against Paul. Why? Because he looked quite weak. He looked quite pathetic. That was their evaluation of Paul. He wasn't very impressive. He wasn't eloquent like Apollos, who could speak really well, whom they were drawn to. So Paul goes on to correct them. He goes on to tell them, hang on, don't take pride in your leaders, because leaders are mere servants of Christ. So don't think too highly of them. Next, he goes on to correct them by telling them, how should we evaluate our leaders? And it's not based on their wisdom, not based on their eloquence, not based on their personality, on charisma. It is based on their faithfulness to the gospel message. The question is, are they trustworthy? Are they trustworthy? Are they true to the message? Because these Corinthian Christians used the wrong criteria, they looked down on Paul. So Paul says in verse 3, so the criteria is faithfulness to the gospel, trustworthiness. And then verse 3. So Paul says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. So Paul is saying, it doesn't matter what the people think. It's what God thinks that matters. Because God is the one who will evaluate whether I have been trustworthy when Jesus returns. So leaders, we are servants of Christ. And as servants of Christ, we serve the people. But when the people's interest is different from what God wants us to do because of the gospel message, then sometimes we have to stop pleasing people and please God when there is a conflict. Not everyone will agree with your decision, but if it's what is right in God's eyes, then you have, you just stand accountable to God. So sometimes I struggle, like I think, oh, what will this person think? What will that person think? What will this other person think and the other person? And then there's so many thoughts in your mind. You get paralyzed. You can't make a decision. So then what I do is I've been trying to think, what will God think? So if I'm standing before God and I'm accountable to God and I'm comfortable with that decision, then go ahead. It doesn't matter what so-and-so will say or this other person will think. It's what God thinks that matters. And so we can make a decision. If it pleases God, that's what matters. And to please God, we mustn't move away from the gospel, the message about Jesus. We are a community that lives for Christ, and so we want to be making much about Jesus. We want to boasting about Jesus, about the cross, because that's what we have been entrusted with. That's what our stewardship is, the message about Jesus. And sometimes, to be faithful to this message, it means you might have to take some hard decisions. You might have to correct people. You might have to guard the gospel. You might have to be involved with some sort of discipline, church discipline. Look at verse 18. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? So sometimes as leaders, we have to take corrective action. Next week we'll go on to look at chapter 5, where Paul says if someone is committing sexual immorality and is unrepentant, they need to be dealt with, and in some cases, if they don't want to be repentant, to be told that they are no longer part of this fellowship. Similarly, in some instances, as leaders, we need to take corrective action as well. We need wisdom to ask God for wisdom to know how to deal with different people. Sometimes it's a question of ignorance, then it's not... Sometimes it's a question of willful rebellion. So depending on how people respond, you take different corrective action. So as leaders, we are to be faithful to God's gospel by guarding it, and sometimes this means involve taking corrective action. As a leader, as a steward of this gospel, we not only talk about it, it's not only a message in words, but it's also our lives. And so we not only preach about Christ crucified, we also live a life in light of this crucified Messiah. And sometimes this will involve some shame and humiliation. I know nobody likes to be humiliated, nobody likes to be shamed, but look, I guess that's the nature of following Jesus sometimes. Look at verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings. See, when a Roman general came back after war and he was victorious, there was always a parade. And in front of the parade were the senior officers. Then behind the senior officers were the junior officers. And then at the back were their booty, the prisoners that they had captured. And right at the back were the worst of the worst, the prisoners who were condemned to die in the arena. And this is what Paul likens being an apostle. What is being an apostle like? He said it's like this. It's like being a prisoner of war at the back of the parade who is going to lose his life. This is not a position of honor. It is a position of humiliation. Remember Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 10, we are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. Why do these apostles look so weak, so foolish, so dishonored? Because they were identifying with Jesus, because they were walking in the footsteps of their crucified Messiah. Don't get me wrong, we are not called to suffer for the sake of suffering. So no one is asking us to go and put your life next to the railroad and let the train cross and cut off your legs. That's not what we are called to. We're not called to suffer for the sake of suffering. But sometimes, following Jesus, sometimes for the sake of the gospel, there is suffering involved. Paul was a missionary, and look at what it was like for him in verse 11. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. This was the harsh reality of missionary work in a hostile world. There were times when he didn't have enough food and drink. There were times when he couldn't wear Gucci and Armani, if that was existing at that time. It wasn't, so whatever brand that was in at that time. There were times when he was beaten up. There were times when people were angry at his message and chased him out of the city. And being an itinerant missionary, he traveled. He traveled from city to city. There was no place that he could call home. And how does he respond? How does he respond to ill treatment? Verse 12. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. He doesn't retaliate when he's treated badly. When things get tough, he doesn't pack up his bags and leave. He continues to serve. When his name is dragged in the mud, he appeals gently. He reasons with those who are against him. Like what he's doing with these Christians in Corinth, he appeals to them, even though they doubt that he is an apostle of any standing. So this is a life that is shaped by the cross. What do we do with a passage like this? When I read it, I find it so confronting. Like my reality is so vastly far away from Paul's life shaped by the cross. We have to let its message sink into our hearts, because sometimes part of following Jesus means we too will be shamed and humiliated. Sometimes we too will may have to go without things because we are seeking for the gospel to advance. Sometimes there'll be some inconvenience, some sacrifice, because that's what is involved for people to hear about Jesus. And some of y'all might be sitting there and think, thank God I'm not a leader. But you're not off the hook. Look at verse 16. It's not just for leaders. So Paul is talking about his life as an apostle, but he's saying, imitate me. So it's for all leaders. And not only for all leaders, it's for all Christians, all those who follow Jesus. The difference is not the amount, it's a difference of degree. It's a difference of degree. So the leaders might be way in front. Paul is way in front. But you're not walking in a different direction. you're also walking in the way that he's walking, following Jesus. We may be at different stages, at different degrees, at different levels. That's fine. But this is a life shaped by the cross. So I read verse 16. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So to follow Jesus is to walk in his footsteps. And sometimes this may involve some humiliation as you choose to side with Jesus. So if you're a leader this morning, this passage is a reminder. One, you are a servant of Christ. Two, you are a steward of the gospel. So to be faithful to that gospel means to guard it, to proclaim it, to speak of it, but also to live it out. And it means that our lives are to be shaped by the cross, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to choose to die daily so that others can live. But it's not just for leaders, it's for everyone. Because Paul says, imitate me. This life shaped by the cross is the way, is the path that we are called to walk. Because who do we follow? We follow Jesus. If he's walking and that's the direction, then we are walking in that direction too. Brothers and sisters, the world may not understand sometimes. Sometimes the world may be hostile. But one day we will stand before God, and God who sees all that we do, God who sees all that we have gone through, he will commend us. So look at verse 5. Therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, but because we have a goal, a longer term eternal perspective, and when we stand before God, we will hear God say, well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, well done, good and faithful servant. So for if you've been walking on that path this morning, God says to us, well done, well done, well done. And it will be a glorious day when we hear those words from Jesus, well done. Until then, let's pray for God's help, because it's hard, isn't it? When I read this passage, I find it so confronting, so radical, so extreme, calling out so much from me that I don't have. And so my confidence is in God's promise that God, who began a good work in me, he will bring it to completion. We can't walk this path in our own strength, like it is by God's grace that he enables us to even have the desire to walk like this, to live like this. But he in his grace will give us that desire. He in his grace will give us that perseverance. He in his grace will help us to choose humiliation, to choose whatever it takes in being faithful to Jesus. So let's pray and ask God for his help. Lord, we know your words, Lord, that if anyone would want to come after me, he must take up his cross and follow you. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us to new life. You've given us faith to believe in your Son. And we pray, Lord, that that call to take up our cross and follow you, that your Holy Spirit would help us. Give us the desire, Lord, firstly, to want to identify with your Son. And Lord, then give us the power, Lord, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. we pray and we ask this, Lord, because we are weak, but you are strong. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.